Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We welcome in our Richmond audience joining us now in the capital of the Commonwealth for the next 3 hours. Everyone else has been listening since 2 on 106.7 The Fan. The flagship all over D.C. Grant Paulson solo today with Danny vacationing. I am live at Nationals Park, sections 106 and 107 in the left field concourse. Homecoming night, Juan Soto and Josh Bell. The first of 7 games against Soto, Bell, and the Padres for the Nats over the next 10 days. I've got thoughts. We will get into Juan Soto coming home in just a little bit, but let's get to the BetQL guest hotline, because when you get a guest like Joe Theismann on, you don't make him wait. Bet smarter to beat the books. Download the BetQL app. Visit BetQL.com. One of the legends who brought greatness on the gridiron to this city that we still cling to from his greatness. By the way, in a 2-year period, people sleep, Joe, on the heater you were on. You had such a great career. Super Bowl champ, NFL Most Valuable Player, Offensive Player of the Year. But you went back-to-back with Man of the Year and MVP, off the field, on the field, in 82-83. How many people did that in a 2-season run, huh?
Grant, you're very kind to you're very kind to say that. I was just, I was part of a great organization, part of a great bunch of guys. I mean, coaches, everybody, the entire organization. Lucky enough, fortunate enough to have incredible guys in 83, and then, of course, my daughter having open heart surgery at Children's Hospital really gave me an opportunity to get into the community and do everything we could to help all the kids that really need it. And it's something we all need to do. We all need to take a step back and look around at how lucky we are and who can we help? How can we help kids especially and give them a chance to be able to have a great life? And that's why I'm involved in St. Jude's Children's Research Center in Memphis. And I still feel very strongly about the Children's Hospital National Medical Center in D.C.
Well, Joe, it's preseason time, and for years, it's funny, August is kind of when oftentimes we start getting you on, not only for the ramp-up to the season, but for many, many years, you were the start of the season to me. I hear your voice, and you're on the preseason calls, and our guy, Doc Walker, who you're a longtime friends with, is going to be doing the color this year. You're not involved in the broadcast, but I got to tell you, I'm going to miss you. That was a rite of passage for me. It was like throwing it back to the Mike Patrick days with Theismann in the booth on ESPN, Sunday Night Football. So you'll be kicking the feet up, I guess, and watching from home, huh?
I will, actually. Yeah, it's a very unusual situation for me too, Grant. I mean, I'm like you are. I feel like a little bit like a fish out of water, but I had some conflicts with some scheduling, and it just, with the 3 preseason games, it just didn't work out for me this year. And there's certainly a possibility I'll be back next year, but I know Doc's going to do a great job with his analysis, and I'm looking forward to listening to him. And I'm looking forward to hearing what he has to say about our football team. So it's a little bit different for all of us. It's like the draft. We have to draft people from Alabama. That's just part of a rite of passage in Washington, it seems like. And unfortunately, we get another new starting quarterback here. And hopefully there'll be some stability created in that situation as well.
Yeah, I want to talk QBs with you, and I'm looking forward to the broadcast. Doc, as you said, will do a nice job, and it's going to be fun to check out preseason football again. We made it. We made it through those, as I like to say, those rocky waters of footballless months, and we are back and better than ever now in the National Football League. So let's talk Carson Wentz for a second. Uh-huh. How do you feel about him as a fit in this offense? Third year, third organization now. maybe his last op as a starter to kind of solidify himself. What do you think about this fit?
Well, first of all, you go back to Philadelphia. Getting hurt was very unfortunate for him in 2017. He was playing some really, really good football. They wind up going on, winning the championship. And I think when he came back in 2018, he's somewhat of a big mobile guy. And I felt like his mobility was limited, and I think it affected him. I think he tried to do a little too much. And obviously he wound up getting traded to Indianapolis. Throws 27 touchdown passes, 7 interceptions, which I think any quarterback would take in this league, a 4-to-1 ratio when it comes to TDs and interceptions. But then you just don't know what happened in Indianapolis. Obviously, losing the last two games will make a difference. But and now a great new opportunity here in Washington. I think it's the last year of a contract. Could be the beginning of a great career for him. He brings a strong arm, which I think the offense wanted. Scott Turner, I think, wanted to be able to put the ball down the field a little bit more, a little further down the field. He's mobile enough to be able to run the offense that you want a little bit with Taylor Rand. And like I say, he's got the strong arm. And now, I really think what caught up with him the last couple of years was not his athleticism, but some of the decisions that he made with the ball in his hands. And that, to me, is the key about playing quarterback. You have to know, when to hold them and when to fold them. If you've got a third and long situation and it looks like you're going to get sacked, take the sack. I mean, that's the one thing I had to learn, was that there's a whole bunch of other guys. There's a defense. There's punters. There's so many guys out there that are willing to help. You just can't try and put it on your own shoulders. And I think Carson did to a degree in both places, late in Philadelphia and in Indianapolis. I think he got to situations where he just wanted to try and make a play, which isn't bad. But sometimes you have to evaluate where you are on the field, what's the score of the game, and all of the other things that go into playing the position of quarterback. And I believe 100% that is an area that he's going to grow in this year, which will help this football team win.
Joe Theismann on Grant and Danny. Tell me if I'm wrong about this from a quarterbacking standpoint. I feel like I would rather a QB like Wentz, who can physically do a lot of things that a vast majority of quarterbacks in the league can't with a big arm in terms of attributes, who misses some of the easy layup stuff, then vice versa, where maybe a guy hits on all of the layup drill stuff but doesn't have the club in the bag for some of the things that Wentz has the potential to do vertically. Am I wrong about that? Because the book on him, the knock on him, Joe, has been that he misses some of that easy, quote-unquote, like you just take it for granted stuff.
Yeah, everybody misses some of the easy, take it for granted stuff. Unfortunately, Grant, we're in a situation where at the quarterback position, every throw that you make is analyzed and scrutinized and dissected. Tom Brady misses short, easy throws. Peyton Manning missed short, easy throws. Lamar Jackson misses short, easy throws. I could go down a list of people. How'd you like to be Jimmy Garoppolo? You go to the NFC Championship game the last couple of years, and they got you out the door in a heartbeat. Everybody's talking about Carson moving from one place to another, but he's out of Indianapolis. But what about Jimmy Garoppolo? I mean, he's going to go someplace. I promise you this, and he's going to help somebody, and it could be the Browns. I mean, they're talking very much about that. I think also Seattle is a possibility for him. But you work on the things that you don't do well, or work on the things that need to be worked on, I guess you could say. If Carson is having trouble throwing shorter passes, or anybody does, those are the things you want to focus on, because they're the easy completions. The percentage of hitting long passes over 20 yards down the field is not very high. But anything under 10 should be in the 70-80% range, I think. And, those are the things – If that was an issue during training camp, as they've observed it, or if that was an issue with them, that's something he can focus on. Because every day you have to get better. I've had conversations with Tom about this, Brady. It's like Tom, you're 45 years old. You've been in this game. Methuselah was a child when you started this whole thing, but no matter whether it's 23 years or whether it's year four, you're still trying to grow and get better, because there's so many different elements of the position that you can grow in. And every day is a different day.
I love, by the way, that Tom Brady is Tom. Because when you said Tom, yeah. I'm thinking, who's Tom? And you're like, you know, this guy, he played quarterback at one point. Makes me want to just grab your cell phone and start scrolling through the contacts at some point, Joe. Joe Theismann on G&D. Let me ask you this. I loved what you just said. I loved it. This idea of basically every throw being a referendum. I'm guilty of this. We all are. It's the Twitter world, honestly. And I think we're all trying to confirm our priors. Like, God forbid, Wentz is in this bucket, Cousins, Carr. Like, there's just certain guys. You make a bad throw, it's viral. You're right? I mean, I told you.
Yeah.
I told you. And even if you like Dak Prescott or you don't, you're finding the one play. It didn't used to be that way, I'm sure of it. I mean, when you were quarterbacking, was every drive and every throw scrutinized like that? I don't know that it's all bad. Because it means fans are smarter and we've got all 22. I pay money to get all 22 film after every single game. And I don't know what the hell I'm doing with it probably compared to, you know, these adults in the room. But we're smarter. Maybe that's good. But I also think you're right, man. Being a quarterback right now is not fun.
It will, you know, it can be. Obviously, you know, if you're Matthew Stafford, it's fun right now. Or you know, Pat Mahomes, Josh Allen, the guys, you know, the young guys coming in, and we've got a whole bunch of great ones coming in. The thing is what's different is society and social media, and you brought it up. I've missed throws. Everybody's missed short throws. Everybody's missed different kinds of throws. Everybody's missed opportunities, but you weren't scrutinized as much because it wasn't as instantaneous. It wasn't immediately out there. You know, I tweet during games. I love interacting with the fans during games. I watch different games, and I'll send a tweet out about something I've observed or a question that I have or what I think might transpire or what somebody might want to do. I mean, I'm as guilty as anybody from a play-to-play observation. And that's, I just think, where we are when it comes to as fans and the access that we have to be able to voice our opinion, to be able to express how we feel about something. And you're the person for 60 plus plays per game. You're the one that has the ball in your hand, and not everything's going to go well during a large you hope a large percentage, but it's not going to go well all the time. And so there's going to be that one errant throw or that mistake, and you know, different things. It's like I go back to the Super Bowl against Kansas City. Jimmy Garoppolo had Emmanuel Sanders on the middle of the football field late in that game. You know, he missed the throw. That would have been a touchdown. San Francisco would have won. Jimmy Garoppolo would still be the quarterback of the San Francisco 49ers, I believe, had it not been for one pass play. And you look at Carson's situation the latter two games in Indianapolis. If they'd gone differently and they made the playoffs, probably would still be in Indianapolis as a quarterback. So, you know, you just don't know what's that one opportunity that you didn't quite capitalize on and have a chance to be able to make that throw or convert that third down or as a wide receiver to make that catch that continues the drive where you get a chance to be able to win the ball game. So, but a lot of it has to do with the way fans react today. And, you know, without them, the game wouldn't be fun. We found out a couple of years ago just how little fun there really is. It became a business during the pandemic. The fans drive it, and our fans are the best. They really are. I mean, that's what made it so much fun for us. I mean, the most memorable moment I've had, the Super Bowl was a great win for us in Pasadena. But my greatest memory was standing on the football field in the NFC Championship game when we're beating the Dallas Cowboys, and the fans are pounding their feet on these aluminum seats that they brought in, and the ground is shaking beneath my feet. That is a memory that is emblazoned in my mind. And it wasn't the game. It was the fans. It was their enthusiasm. It was their love for what we were trying to do and win a football game. And they were as much a part of it as we were. And
yeah,
so,
I would just kill to have been there for that. It is crazy, Joe, because now you've got an entire generation of people like me. I'm 34 as of a couple months ago. My first memory of this team is 1993 as a 5-year-old. And we got the videos and the DVDs. And, I mean, my mom raised me telling me stories of you like you were Santa Claus, you know. And it's Man, I would kill to have experienced that.
No, we were lucky. I mean, it was, like I said, we were lucky. And, you know, we're all wanting those days back. We can never have what was back, but we can try and get close. You know, I think for us, as critical a year as this is for us as a football team, the first two games are monumental. I mean, you got Jacksonville, Detroit. Jacksonville's going to be a better football team. Detroit and Detroit's a tough place to play. So if we're going to be who all of us would like to believe we can be, and I know Coach Rivera and everybody wants this football team to be, we're going to have to get off to a fast start, and we're going to have to come out and play good, solid, smart football. Obviously, the defense is going to have to play better than they did a year ago, and Carson's going to have the microscope. You can't avoid this. I mean, the microscope is on you. You know, you may, and the thing is embrace it. You know, there's only 32 guys this year that are going to start as quarterbacks in the National Football League. It's 32 positions. There are more heads of state. There are more presidents in the world. There are more CEOs. There are more billionaires. There are more trillionaires than there are starting quarterbacks in the National Football League. Embrace the moment and go out and be the best you can possibly be, keeping in mind that the bottom line is winning.
Joe Theismann's got me ready for some football on Grant and Danny. All right, I got to ask you before I let you go. We have two options. We're going to find out tomorrow what the new fight song is. I'm sure you know that they have kept the fight song almost identical to the old one, and they've changed the lyrics around. So the options are, one of the lines is "Fight for our Commanders," and the other is "Leaders on a Mission." What does Joe Theismann want the new fight song to be?
I like "Leaders on a Mission." I think if we're commanders, we're leaders on a mission, and our mission is to win.
Get back to winning football games. I'm going to read you this real quick because I want to end this here. Someone just tweeted me, and they said, "Tell Joe, I don't know if you'll remember this, you spoke at a YMCA event back in 1985. He says, I was 9 and I met him. He took me over to his limo and signed a ball for me. I'll always remember." He said this was after you got hit and weren't playing for the team. He said, as a kid, he made my life then. I was recovering from leukemia. I was a survivor.
I do remember. I do remember that day. And I'm so glad that young person is able to communicate with us and pass the story on. But I think, you know, to me, we're just blessed to be able to do the things we're able to do. I mean, being able to put a uniform on is a privilege, not a right. And that's why I think you have to respect the game, and you have to respect the people, that the fans that love the game and the players inside the game. And that's one word that I think we need to sort of grab onto society more is to respect one another, respect people's opinions, respect who they want to be, allow them to be who they want to be. And that's one thing. That was one thing about Joe Gibbs, real quick, that he'd let us be us. I mean, you look at you, we weren't a football team. We were characters with character. I mean, it was, and Doc was one of them. You know, I mean, it was everybody had their own personality, but we all loved one thing, and that was playing football and playing together. And I hope this football team feels that same way.
Yeah, you and me both. One of the great ambassadors of football in this town, Joe Theismann, and at his restaurant over in Alexandria, they make a heck of a steak fry as well. So he's good in my book. Hey, Joe, thank you. Awesome to have you on.
You bet, buddy. Take care of yourself. And hope Danny comes back rested and ready to go.
He better be. I mean, it feels like he's been gone for a month, this guy. Appreciate you, Joe.
Take care, bud. Bye-bye.
There's Joe Theismann on Grant and Danny. All right, some of you have been waiting very patiently. You want to give your thoughts on today's kerfuffle on social media. Jason Wright, team president, talking at Scott Abraham of Channel 7 based on the Carson Wentz interview. Let's sneak in a call real quick, 800-636-1067. Danny's in Rockville. Danny, what's up? Thanks for waiting.
Hey, Grant. How come every time you're at the ballpark, Danny's always off?
You're asking a great question. I don't know the answer, but the question, it's a reasonable one, sir.
But, I will stop by and say hi to you out there to this afternoon. But, I think it was a good thing that I don't think anybody should shy away from. You guys have a hard job, but I think that Scott did the right thing. I think he just needed to dig right into it, and I don't think it opened up any worms. I just think it was the true thing.
Yeah, I wonder. Thanks for the call. I mean, if Wentz seemed okay with it, he handled it great. Unless he went to someone and was really upset, it's kind of over, right? Questions were asked. Best case scenario, tough questions were asked. Worst case scenario, if they felt this way, inappropriate tact, questions were asked, whatever. It's over now, but it's not today, is it? We can take your thoughts on this before we move along, so we'll get back to you next. 800-636-1067. Want to take the temperature of the fan base. There is a preseason game tomorrow, so I got to get into some actual football as well. I'm going to make the decision to do that because I don't think you guys should be robbed of the opportunity to hear about the Commanders the day before they make their big debut at FedEx Field. G&D on the Fan.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, three-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Thanks to Joe Theismann for joining me just moments ago here on Grant and Dan. If you missed any part of the interview, worth a podcast when we are done today at thefandc.com, grantanddanny.com/audio. Very few people I enjoy having on the radio more than Joe Theismann, who's always just tremendous. Get a lot of feedback from people who enjoyed that interview. You can't beat him. He's as good as there is on DC radio. I just love having him on. We have been taking your thoughts on what Jason Wright had to say today in regard to an interview he did not like with one of the players on the Commanders. Jason Wright, the team president, posting the video of the interview saying, "Thankfully, Carson demonstrated grace and class in response to this pompous, unprofessional mess. I recognize you have made a living on childlike provocation, but it needs to be called out. Don't expect special access and good luck building rapport with the guys," end quote. With that in mind, let's get to your thoughts. You guys have been waiting patiently. 800-636-1067. Let's go to Chris, who's in Hyattsville. Chris, how are you, buddy?
What's going on, Grant? How are you doing?
Chilling.
Yeah. You're going to be at the park tonight.
I am here right now, section 106-107, and I am planning on staying to see Juan Soto, hopefully homer a couple times.
I won't be mad if he does. It'll be nice. As far as this interview goes, like, I agree with you that reporters should be allowed to ask tough questions, but if that was the best that this guy, who is an anchor and, a Syracuse alum, has to offer, then he needs to go back and do some more practice. Because, this was a scheduled interview. It wasn't just like a locker room interview or after game or immediately after practice. It was on camera in, director's chairs. He had plenty of time to prepare for this. And that was the best way that he could couch those questions. Come on. I just feel like, to say Philadelphia didn't want you, Indy didn't want you. I mean, it was almost like he was trying to get Carson Wentz to cut a wrestling promo instead of respond to question. He could have said, "Hey, this is your third team in 3 years. Is there something you need to prove to yourself or to the fans?" There's a much more tactful way to do it. Wentz handled it appropriately. Wright overreacted. But I do think there is something in the idea that Wright is trying to show that he's standing up for his teams. He's a former player. He knows what it's like to be asked these questions, and when he thinks it's unfair. I just think that this reporter, journalist, I use that term loosely, did a really subpar job.
appreciate the call and the opinions. I mean, I don't agree with all of what you just said, right? Because to me, like the personal stuff, I don't know about his acumen or go back to school and all that. That's not for me. I know Scott, he does a good job. He's a professional. Having said that, in this case, if he was sitting next to me, I would say, hey, there's no way you feel great about the tact or the tone there when you rewatch it. There's no way that's exactly how you meant it to come off. I think those are reasonable critiques that you are levying. I'm just, as I sit here, I guess surprised that anyone who cares a lot about this team would have that be their lead, like would care more about the delivery of the anchor on the local sports channel as opposed to the reaction of the team president, who is kind of supposed to be our savior here to bring us out of the muck and the mire. Who cares about, with all due respect, and I'm not trying to belittle my brothers and sisters in the media, but, I mean, frankly, that same as, like, me. Who cares about me? I'm just a fat guy who talks on the radio sometimes and loves chicken wings too much. That's kind of the extent of what I am. But we're talking about the president of the team just doing something that doesn't happen. It's, you know, it's like someone's at a restaurant and they get an order to the table and it's wrong. And they act in a way, if we're agreeing that maybe you could have done something a little bit better here in this interview, let's just work from that. And they say something inappropriate or kind of throw the food back across the table and say, I don't want this. And then the manager of the restaurant comes out and overturns the table and kicks them out. Okay, the person might have probably handled it better when they didn't get their burger correctly. But as the manager of the restaurant, you can't go out there and flip the table over and drag someone out by their ear. Like, to me, that's the lead here. That you did a thing you can't and shouldn't do that no one else really does. We can have our cake and eat it too. We can walk and chew gum. We can talk about it all. But I guess I'm just surprised if anyone says that this was the right response to what happened. I also wonder, and I just don't know enough about their relationship, but the I recognize you have made a living on childlike provocation. I mean, is that a general default feeling about media, or is that specific to some type of ongoing issue? I don't know. I have no idea exactly what the rapport is there. But it's really negative take about someone who's at your building all the time. Let's go to Kevin in Arlington on line four. Kevin, you're on Grant and Danny. What's up?
I just can't get over that last call. Talk about burying the lead. Who cares what Scrappy Scott said and how he said it? And it was fine. Sure, it wasn't polished and perfect, but who cares? What's important is the pompous and I consider unprofessional response from the organization. I mean, the words were perfect, but in relation to what the response was. And, you know, forgive me for wearing my tinfoil cap for a moment, Grant, but that reads more like something Snyder, the pettiest owner in town, would have said than the eloquent and thoughtful Jason Wright. And so I'm going to say it again. Just like with the Sean Taylor rushed event, we've got another Jason Wright hostage statement coming on video. You know, this is no doubt influence is not dictated directly by Dan, but it's coming through Wright. And it's ridiculous. Instead of talking about football, because we've got a ball game tomorrow, first Edwards Commander, we're dealing with this baloney. I don't want to say anything more about it. I'm still furious at the front office. So could we just quickly say what we're excited about, which is tomorrow's game, and me especially, I'm interested in Robinson and Dotson and that rookie class. That's what I care about. Because you know what? I will never expect them to get it right as long as Dan runs the team, because they never get it right and they always do this, and it's 20 years strong. It just infuriates me.
Thanks, buddy. Appreciate the call. Yeah, I'm going to break down the rookie class as it pertains to tomorrow in detail a little bit later on in the show. I'm with you for another 3 hours here live at Nats Park until 6:30. because that is absolutely near the top of my list. You mentioned Dotson. I can't wait to see him flying around and making some catches, hopefully. His relationship with Wentz having been a major storyline positively at camp, it seems like those guys really have a good thing going. But I made a bold prediction yesterday where I said, I think there's a real chance Brian Robinson leads this team in rushing this year. I'm looking forward to seeing him. I, for a long time, have been told by coaches, Kyle Shanahan told me this, Mike Shanahan at one point mentioned this to me, that the hardest position to evaluate at practice is running back. So I really can't wait to see Brian Robinson in a game and what that looks like when you're trying to break tackles and defenders are actually trying to tackle you. But I appreciate the call. You mentioned something, and that was about, you know, how much kind of you like Jason Wright and how eloquent and how smart and sharp this guy is. I think that's part of why this has been such a big story today, is because I do think for a lot of fans, he is the guy they really, really like. You know, he's the one that's supposed to be helping us change this whole thing. And I'll just speak for myself. Maybe that's why this was disappointing, because I view him as someone who has been the adult in the room, hopefully. And this is the kind of stuff I would have expected, you know, in the past from those people that are gone, that I think Wright is just better than ideally at his job. So maybe that's part of it. It's like your parents saying, oh, I'm not mad, I'm just kind of disappointed. Might be something to that. Let's go to Mike in Woodbridge on line 7. Grant and Danny, without Danny today on the Fan. Hey, Mike.
Hey, thanks for having a call. I never called before. I get stage fright. I don't know how you do it every day.
Oh, don't you get stage fright. First-time caller, Darius. Give him the treatment.
Hit that hooray! Hit that hooray! Hit that hooray!
Mike, it means a lot that you listen to this show and that you called us, buddy. Thank you.
I actually started listening to the show when you guys got Alex Smith on a 49ers fan, and that somehow made me start liking Riskin. You actually convinced me to take Robert Wright's side. I'm sorry, Jason. He's the right side. And it's because, like the other caller said, it's an honor to play in the AFA, and it should be an honor to interview these players. And if this guy comes, like you said, he should have been more tactful. I mean, I felt bad for the player being interviewed, and it made me feel uncomfortable as a fan to have this player, like, insulted like that on TV. It just, to me, it was like you said, it was untactful, and I feel like this guy is a professional. He should have came prepared to ask a professional question. And I think Jason Wright went too far with his words. And at the same time, I'm okay with him saying you should have this kind of access, because, you know, is he going to treat the other players that way too?
Well, you got to be careful about, you got to be careful about restricted access. Thank you, buddy. I appreciate the call. You can't restrict access because you're upset with someone. It's just a bad precedent to set, and that doesn't really fly. It doesn't work. I understand if you're saying that there's a way that you want to treat the players. I can't get down on the whole it's an honor thing. This is his job. I mean, Scott Abraham's a professional. He's going and talking to players as part of his gig. You know, his gig could be news, and he could be talking to politicians, or it could be news, and he could be talking to people at the mall about whatever's going on. So it's not like he's lucky to be there. It is a job that a lot of people would want, and I still view my opportunities in sports, because I love sports, that I'm blessed. I don't know that everyone views it that way, but I would just say that you treat people well because that's how you treat people. I mean, you treat people with decency. In this case, with Wentz sitting there, because he's been kind enough to give you a couple of minutes and take time. But as a general rule, I would just say decorum, decency, those things, you know, when you're talking to someone. It doesn't matter if it's the teller at the bank who's helping you put your money in your account, or someone bringing the food over to the table. You want to treat people well. And I would like to think, I know Scott, he's a really good dude. He treats players pretty well. He's had a lot of success and has good relationships. I've seen him do stories where he's out at schools with defensive linemen who are giving kids book bags and stuff like that. I mean, it's not like he's some shock jock and crazy guy who got access one day to the team and wanted to have Carson Wentz say something. Now, again, I think maybe it was when you speak for a living, you make a mistake. I don't know what, you know, any person listening individually, their job is, but you probably have variations in your job where you can make a mistake. You're an accountant and you punch in the wrong number. Like, you ask a question a way that maybe you don't want to. It happens. It's not ideal. Is it the norm? If it was the norm, that's a problem. I don't know. I've never seen anything like this. That would seem to me to be strange. Appreciate the call, certainly. 800-636-1067. We can put a bow on this conversation and get to our double play. What's going on in our lives? Nothing to do with sports as we continue. We're 20 minutes away from the Beltway Blitz. Sabah, North Carolina, you get the last word.
Hey, Grant, thanks for taking my call. I don't think I've called into you before, so what an honor that you took my phone call.
You.
But I have a lot to say about this and the fact that I find it interesting that Jason Wright didn't have a problem with Ron Rivera telling anyone who didn't even ask or who asked that it was laughable that we have a quarterback problem. And even on, I think it was NBC, I think it was either Santana Moss or J.P. Finley, one of the guys actually in an interview post-game asked Terry McLaurin how frustrating is it for him to be playing not with a legitimate starting quarterback. And so I find that interesting that they actually are getting mad at Mr. Abraham for asking legitimate questions. I mean, does your third team, you know, what happened to the other two? And you've been inconsistent. And I think what they did was did not shoot a fire shot out to Abraham. What they did was Jason Wright said to all the media, you guys included, the national guys, everybody, when we come on Sundays and you interview our guys or when you want to get access to our players, we don't want anything negative said, particularly about the mentally weak ones, that is Carson Wentz, or we will not give you access. I think this is very dangerous, and they're setting a precedent here. And it's basically blackmail and or shakedown, however you want to call it.
And or shakedown. Well, Sabah, thank you for the call. Much appreciated. So I said this earlier. I don't think that his comment about access is a threat in that, like, Scott Abraham's not going to be allowed to go in the locker room and talk to players or that he's not going to be able to do his job out at the park. I think what they were saying there was, and this is an assumption, but they provide – what is an extensive amount and a rare amount probably around the league of access to local TVs during camp to the coach and to the quarterback. And again, this PR staff is really highly regarded now. And part of the reason why is that they're really good at granting access. If you're coming through as a national reporter, if you're one of the local TVs, generally you ask, you know, for guys, it's not, you can't get Dan Snyder. It's got to be reasonable, but I mean, compared to other teams, they do pretty well. And I think all he was saying was, hey, there's one TV station in this town, which I believe is Channel 4, that is contractually obligated. And this is also an assumption. I don't know what's in the contract. But that has a relationship with the team where you get to talk to the quarterback. You get to talk to the coach. Channel 7's not on that. And they're probably just saying, like, Carson Wentz did that. He didn't have to do that. We did that to kind of say, hey, thanks for covering us, whatever it is. We don't need to do that. I think that's more what he meant, not the restriction of access. But there is a fair rebuttal to that, and I'm sure this is kind of what Mike Florio was getting at, which was to say, okay, well, then what really are you saying? That if you ask questions we don't like in a way that we don't like, that you don't get those interviews? I guess that's a reality, but that's the quiet part out loud, so to speak. So I would reiterate, my issue was less about the access comment. They're not trying to restrict anyone's credential. I don't think that's the case. It was more about this idea of good luck with other players talking to you. Because I promise you, when Scott Abraham goes to the facility now, I mean, your highest-ranking official in the organization, basically, on the non-football side, just kind of nudged you and said, hey, I don't know if you want to talk to this guy. So that's not, for me, my favorite part of what he said. All right, let's get to a quick double play. What's going on in our lives? Nothing to do with sports. Brought to you by GovSmart, intelligent IT solutions for government. Visit GovSmart.com. I'm going to bring in Ryan, who's out here with me at Nats Park. Darris is working hard in the studio. We're getting to have the fun out and about. Darris somehow drew the short straw today, and he's back on Half Street at our headquarters. But Ryan just said something to me that I couldn't believe. We only have about a minute here, Ryan.
Yeah.
But I want you to tell Darris and our listening audience what you told me about 5 minutes ago that blew me away.
So coming into work today, I was a little early, and I was also hungry, per usual. And so I decided to make a quick pit stop at Burger King. And guess what I tried there for the first time? A Whopper. The big thing with Burger King. The Big Mac of Burger King. The first time I tried it.
You've never had a Whopper before today?
Never. Didn't even know I had to order it with cheese.
Have you been to Burger King before?
I have.
That is annoying, by the way. If you just say Whopper, they ask you if you want cheese. Just assume I want cheese.
Exactly.
Work back from, please put cheese on all your burgers.
It should just be a requisite at this point. Like, you should ask, you should have to ask for no cheese.
I can't believe. How old are you?
22.
How many times do you think in your life you've gone and eaten fast food burgers?
Oh, my God. I mean, we're definitely four digits. How about that?
Over under 1,000.
So over. Okay. Hammering it.
Right. Grew up a portly fellow, much like I did, right?
Yes.
You've eaten a burger, too.
Love burgers.
You and me both. Guy, how have you never had a Whopper? Darius, do you believe this? One Whopper?
So I heard him saying it during the break, and I took pause. I was like, wait a minute. That doesn't sound right. Is he sure about this?
I mean, it is what it is, I guess. I don't know. Like, I just wasn't a Whopper guy. Or I guess. No. Actually, I should say I am a Whopper guy now. Like, they've sold me on it. I love the charbroiled taste.
Well, the charbroiled taste is great. There's a crispiness to
yes.
it. There's also with Burger King burgers, and I think Burger King does a really good job. I love a Wendy's burger. I like a McDonald's burger. I think Burger King's mm-hmm. burgers are very solid. But what I like about their burgers that is distinct, if you did like a blind taste test, we should do this one day.
Yeah.
It's a great opportunity for me to eat. Just put a blindfold on me and then give me a burger from each place. I could pick them apart. And the reason Burger King is differentiated as unique in its own way is the mustard. It's a heavy mustard taste with that char.
And I like that.
Well, who doesn't?
And so I will...
Raheem Moots Mustard, the running back for the Miami Dolphins.
Listen, I should have had a Whopper before now, but guess what? I'm now a Whopper guy. You'll be seeing me at Burger King in Annandale. I will be sitting in that drive-thru and getting a Whopper from here on out. How about that?
All right, we've converted him. Ladies and gentlemen, Ryan explains it all. Beltway Blitz is next on Grant and Danny. We will be covering the NFL with Benjamin Brown, the Nationals with Craig Heist, Juan Soto's homecoming tonight right here at Nats Park, and the Commanders with Matt Paris of the Washington Times. Live, moments away on The Fan, Mike Florio today at 4:30.
What up, y'all? It's your boy, Danny Green, three-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host, Harrison Sanford, on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.